This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Youth Baseball Talk. Only on lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jim Cromer.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Youth Baseball Talk. I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and happy to welcome everybody back after a nice fall week here in the Midwest as some baseball's raging on here with fall ball and, of course, everybody watching what's going on in the major leagues. But, you know, for me, this type of year, I usually consider to be somewhat of an off season. But I know there's a lot of people out there working on their game, playing some fall ball. Sometimes there's some instructional leagues. I got to thinking about it as I have, obviously, through the show you've heard me mention multiple times that I have two kids deep involved in it at different ages. And I started thinking a little bit about fall ball, what it is, what it should be for, what you could do with it, and really how it relates to the game of baseball and the development of your son. So I've had a great gentleman on the show in the past that does some of the best training in our area. He's been very well influenced by his own journey and path and had a vision of what he wanted to do to try to help other people. So I reached out to my good friend EJ Jones from Next Level Performance and asked him to join us. He was one of my first guests ever. So I want to welcome into the show EJ Jones. EJ, how you doing?
I'm doing great today, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I was thinking about you the other day because as I watched some kids, my own older son is participating in fall ball after not doing it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to somebody about why he had not done it in the past, and we had our reasons. Not that I think there's anything wrong with it. I just think it's a different time for different kids and what they do. So it just got me thinking that it was time to have you back on and talk about what I like to refer to as the real off season of baseball, where I believe where kids really get better, sometimes through baseball activity, sometimes through non-baseball activity. So I wanted to welcome you on today because I know just through keeping up with what you guys are doing that you're doing some amazing stuff with athletes in the area.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, we like to think that we're doing some really good things helping athletes evolve. And I think that's the main thing. It's the athletic component of whatever sport you're going to be playing. With the competition level so high, I think people are playing their primary sport more all year round. I mean, when I was in high school, there wasn't really a fall ball. Now that there is, I think that we want to find that balance between your skill set, but also developing as an athlete, whether it's getting bigger, stronger, faster, more flexible, or whatever it is.
Well, that's exactly why I brought you in today. Before we get deep into the conversation, I want to make sure people know where they can find us. Just make sure you check us out at youthbaseballtalk.com. That's our website. You'll be able to catch up on past episodes, current episodes, videos from some of our great instructors like Rick Strickland or Justin Stone with EliteBaseball.tv. You can keep up to date with what's going on with Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball, as brought to you each and every week by The Pitch Hitter. There's a great video on there kind of detailing out exactly what the pitch hitter is and how it can help your young athlete. Kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about today, the stuff away from the diamond that you can do to help your athlete. So, but make sure you check us out there. Twitter, great communication source for us and staying in tune with what's going on. At Podcast Baseball is our Twitter handle. And, of course, Facebook.com/YouthBaseballTalk is a great way for us to keep up to date, especially with videos and things like that, and you're not limited to the 140 characters. And of course, I always appreciate the emails, info@youthbaseballtalk.com. They mean a lot to us. And if you want to stay up to date with all the episodes we're doing, we're doing the Monday morning solution shows, and of course we do the Thursday main episodes. Just go to iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. You can subscribe. It's free. You just click that subscribe button, and then you'll get a notification each and every time we put out a new show. Also enables you to leave us a review. We'd really appreciate the ratings and reviews as they help keep us moving up the charts on iTunes, of course, as always. So really appreciate that. I want to dive in a little bit here with EJ on some of the thoughts that I have as they're always kind of spinning around in my head. I had mentioned that I started thinking about getting you back on, EJ, because my older son, and you've worked with Tyler before and mm-hmm. made a big difference in his life, he's playing fall ball this year. And Tyler wants to be a pitcher. He's a bigger kid. I would say he's doing okay. Mm-hmm. I think there's an opportunity for him to play college baseball somewhere. It's not going to be at a big-time school, which is okay,
yep.
Of course, because this is what he wants to do. He just wants a chance to play somewhere, and I'm supportive of that 100%. It was at the advice of the guy that he trains with for the throwing aspect, mm-hmm. the actual just baseball stuff,
yep.
Not the stuff that you do. They do some stuff that you do, but this is more from a pitching stance of knowing Tyler's background.
Right.
Okay? So he's told Tyler, it's time for you now to pitch in the fall because you're at the point now where you have to show people you can pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've spent years getting prepared for this. Now it's time.
Right.
It's that gap in between there that I want to talk about. And I think a lot of people think we have to play, which, don't get me wrong, we do have to play. But how much time are we spending becoming better athletes? Talk a little bit about being a better athlete and how it relates to, you know, you can talk about baseball, of course, but, you know, most of the people listening to this show's kids are doing multiple sports. So talk about the role of just athleticism and how it plays.
Well, the role of athleticism is huge. In any sport today, you have to have good speed. Whether you're just going to be pitch running, whether you're, you know, you need to steal a base, whether you're going to hit a ball in a gap and roll, whether you're a DB, whether you're a point guard pushing a rock down the court, you got to be fast. That's a lot of what we do in athletic ability is train for speed. We train the proper biomechanics. And so we want to make each athlete the best individual version of themselves. You know, some people are just looking to learn how to run properly. Some people look awkward around the base paths. That's not going to look good in the eyes of a scout. Outside of speed, we also want to develop strength and balanced muscles. Patternized strength training is very important. Being able to get the muscles to work in unison, because pitching, playing the outfield, all of that is a patternized movement, and it's in rhythm. Okay, we can't be too tight. We have to have flexible hips. We have to have good balance and coordination. And so these are some of the things that we're going to implement into a athletic training enhancement program. And what we're going to do is customize that for the individual. Some people are born kind of just naturally bigger and stronger, but maybe they're a little tight in some areas. So maybe we want to do some flexibility training at that point. Maybe they have some overactive muscles that we have to pinpoint and figure out how to reciprocate that and balance out the body so they can get the most out of it. Baseball is a very intricate sport, especially a pitcher. You know, so in Tyler's case, we're going to be constantly analyzing the shoulder. We're going to analyze the motion that he uses. We're going to analyze that transverse movement and the load up and explode aspect of pitching. And we're going to use some of our high level technology to be able to replicate that, so he's comfortable and explosive when he gets out there on the mound.
You know, it's interesting to me that and I don't think parents. Obviously, I've always maintained on here that I think parents are always trying to do right by their kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes I've been guilty of it. I think we think or say the things out loud sometimes that we want to hear because of our certain situations, and then they become truths to us. So one of the things that I hear a lot is, well, my son's just going to be a pitcher. I mean,
right.
It doesn't matter how fast he is. It doesn't. And it's like, it couldn't be any further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, you know, I've said it numerous times. People would ask me, how do you coach, or what's your, you know, I guess for lack of a better term at the youth level, what's your philosophy, quote unquote?
Yeah.
And for me, as I felt like I became a better coach, I think it coincided with my understanding that, you know, we can spend all kinds of money on lessons. We can do repetitious stuff all day long. We can try to, I remember a time where it seemed like we dummied these kids down like robots. And mm-hmm. at the end of the day, what it circled back to in the end for me, we needed to make them better athletes.
Yep, yep.
And that included the pitchers, because at the end of the day, it's an athletic movement.
It's an athletic movement, patternized athletic movement.
You know, so for me, it was like, you know, I had told some people, and I've sent plenty of people to you, and I've told them. They said, I used to do hitting with kids and stuff, and they would say, what do I need to do to make him a better hitter? And I'd say, you need to go see this guy. And I'm pointing at EJ.
Yeah.
You can't see that. But I'd say, you need to go see him. And they'd say, you've had him. I mean, you know probably some of the people I'm talking about. But they would say, oh, really? Was he a good hitter? Was he? And I'm like, well, I think he was a good player, but but he's not going to do one thing with him with a bat in his hand. He's going to make him faster, stronger. And when we talk about faster and stronger when it comes to hitting, let's talk about hitting first.
Okay.
When we're saying faster, stronger, what exactly are we talking about when it comes to hitting?
We're talking about being able to load up and generate force through that transverse plane. Because hitting is a twisting motion. Your hips are very important. Being able to get hip extension, being able to get through your backside. You hear hitting coaches say it all the time, get through your backside. A lot of kids don't understand that. A lot of kids are out in front. And so what we're doing is analyzing that and making sure that we're using techniques, even if it's with medicine balls, doing ballistics training, getting that backside to fire, helping you get all your power through the ball, right, instead of just top-handing everything. And so we're looking at everybody's swing and helping them to be able to generate as much power as possible. I mean, that's the main thing. Quick hands is obviously important, different things like that. We have some equipment that helps us be able to do that easier as well, like our functional trainer, for example. Nowadays, it's just not enough to get under a bench press and say, hey, throw up all this weight. You know, nowadays we got to go through some of the planes and the motions of the actual sport. So there's a lot of different things you can do there. But the main thing is teaching athletes how to generate force and load up and really explode through the ball. And no different in any other sport, whether you're coming out of the blocks as a track athlete, there's a load component to that. And then there's an explosive component to that where we're looking to get hip extension.
Well, you know, we talk about the terminology that gets thrown around a lot on the field. And the new thing is, you know, everybody's got to work on your core. Mm-hmm. It's your core. Got to work on your core.
Yeah.
Okay. Define core for people out there because I guarantee you, that, and there's no disrespect, there's a lot of parents and a lot of coaches throwing around that term core.
Yeah, sure.
And while I have to believe they kind of know where the core is, What exactly are we talking about there?
When you talk about core, you're talking about anything from shoulders to knees. A lot of times people just think of the abdomen area or the obliques. You're not. You're talking about all of that. The body works, it's symmetrical, okay? So a lot of things we do is in a X type of design or pattern to be able to get one side of your body to work with the other. When I take a step with my left foot, my right arm moves forward as well, okay? That's why running is such a skill pattern as well. So to train the core efficiently, there's a lot of different things we can do there besides just a normal push-up or a crunch or even a plank
people, you know, hey, you need to work on your core, and they go home and do a bunch of sit-ups.
It's so much more to it. Yeah, the glutes are a big part of it too. You know, the glutes are huge. That's the strongest muscle in your body. That allows you to get hip extension whether you're hitting, rotating, sprinting. It allows your hip flexors to open up and move. So glute strength is very important with core, abductor strength, developing that base, right, to have balance as an athlete and be able to transition your force in multiple planes is everything.
Yeah, no, it's the terminology, I think, sometimes to where we like to throw the terms around because we hear them. And social media, I think, is a part of that because we mm-hmm. see it so much. And you'll see these, what I call these fire words that kind of come out every now and again, and core is one of them. So really good stuff. We're here with EJ Jones from Next Level Sports Performance. I want to remind everybody to make sure you check out lineupmedia.fm. That's the media group that we're proud to be a part of here at Youth Baseball Talk. Phenomenal shows available for your entertainment, depending on what it is you're interested in. I guarantee if you check out lineupmedia.fm, they're going to have a show there out there for you. Of course, we have our brother show, not our sister show, with Baseball Outside the Box with my good friend Pete Caliendo. Great stuff as always. And of course, if you're a baseball fan, don't forget to check out the Bleacher Bums. Great show. Just a fan's perspective of what's going on around MLB. And of course, if you're located anywhere near my home area here of St. Louis, you're probably a Cardinals fan, and Cardinals fans are spread out all over the country. And obviously, I know our show is very national. If you're a Cardinal fan out there, and even if you hate the Cardinals and want to check in, check out Two Birds on a Bat. That's our newest Cardinals fans podcast. Just put together by some everyday guys talking Cardinal baseball. So very proud to be part of the Lineup Media Group. Make sure you check it out, lineupmedia.fm. Great stuff. Okay, back here with EJ Jones from Next Level Performance. We're just talking a little bit about the core and how it relates. So EJ, I want to run a scenario by you. If in an ideal world, I don't know if there is an ideal world, but I think we sometimes as parents, again, I mentioned it earlier, I think we start sometimes thinking and convincing ourselves based on our own agenda. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, you know, we always say, and I know you're in agreement of this, kids should be playing multiple sports. Mm-hmm. But sometimes kids don't want to play multiple
that's
sports.
True.
So let's quit acting like that's the easy answer. Sometimes kids just want to play baseball. It doesn't matter if they're playing eight sports, one sport, whatever it is. In a perfect world, when should a kid start coming to see you?
We take them as early as eight, okay? And I think some of it is the parent identifying the attention span of their kid. We see ourselves as very versatile coaches and trainers, mentors, motivators. But the reality of the situation is the kid has to be able to see and do, and they have to have the attention span to be able to stick through at least an hour-long workout. So most of the time, as early as eight, people are starting to transition into more one-on-one with us at that age too, because maybe they can get more information on an intimate level at a small period of time, and then they can diversify things that they as they grow older, more of a total athlete, you know, component. And so what we're here to do is to help you with in any manner. You know, a parent may come to us and say, "Hey, my kid's just really not flexible." We may work on flexibility. You know, we're going to do anything we can to help the kid become a better athlete. That is our primary focus. And you're exactly right, Jim. You know, I hear it all the time in track where people say, if you want to get fast, just go run track. I didn't run track. I didn't want to run track. I mean, it wasn't interesting to me. I was a kid that wanted to have a ball in my hand at all times. And so what we have to do at Next Level Performance Institute is we have to analyze the different sports and figure out what is it about that sport that conceptually people think that if they just do that, it's going to help, right? It could be footwork. You hear a lot of offensive linemen, well, I'm going to play basketball. Well, you're not going to play basketball in college. So maybe let's get a lot stronger in the offseason because that's what you're going to need for the next level. But let's add footwork into your workout routine, right? Let's diversify what we're doing because that's what really you're saying that you want. Okay, so we're analyzing each sport and constituting a total athlete performance plan. And I think that that's critical.
Yeah, I think you and I had this conversation because, I mean, you know, I always just use my own kids as an example. My youngest son decided to go back to playing soccer. Mm-hmm. And when he had asked me about it, the novice parent in me was like, well, from a baseball perspective, I thought, you know what, you'll do a lot of running. Okay, right. No problem. The reality of it was, though, you could look at it two ways. One, and I know this, if the ultimate goal was for him to play soccer to get faster,
right.
I know that if I brought him to you every day instead of him going to soccer, that he would ultimately do a better job of gaining that. Mm-hmm. But in this instance, he wanted to play. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that into account. Now, I think if he said, I don't really want to play soccer, but I'm going to play so I can get faster, that probably would have been a bad choice. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that that's exactly right. I think that's the old school mentality, honestly. If a kid wants to play a sport and they're zealous about it, by all means, go out there, have fun with it, get better, be a part of a team. But yeah, just to throw a kid in a sport nowadays in a sense, to try to develop an attribute that you can do in your off season, which is what we're talking about, and become more athletic, and also work on maybe some of the things that, to build upon the sport that you focus on the most. I think that that's important too. So when you're customizing these packages and these plans, we're doing that with that understanding. We're progressive, very progressive with our approach.
You know, I don't think you have to look any further than like some of the guys that we talk to every week on this show. Rick Strickland, I know you're familiar with him.
Yes.
He runs a very quality, high-end baseball program out of St. Louis called the St. Louis Pirates. He's on here each and every week. You know, my youngest son is playing for him now. My older son played for him 1 year. And, you know, frankly, my older son at the time just wasn't at that level. You know, so he moved on to do something at his own level and develop at his own pace. So, you know, I'm not a honk here. I mean, it isn't like this has all worked out great for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm realistic.
Right.
Okay. So, but what's interesting is if you know Rick at all, and I do now, is that when he runs his program and you go over there and you try out and they offer you a spot, they don't offer you a spot on a team. They
right.
offer you a spot in the program. And people always freak out because they don't know what team they're on. He doesn't let you know what team you're on until March.
Sure.
And people are always freaking out about that. So finally, you know, they'll ask him and he'll say, look, you get better in the off season and it's at leaps and bounds for some kids, okay? And that falls back to exactly what we're talking about, athleticism, work ethic, how hard, you know, mental approach, the mental capability to be able to repeat things. So when you start having some of the better programs, put such an emphasis on the off-season program, I think it's time that everybody wakes up a little bit and realizes, what am I doing away from the field?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you starting to – I mean, I've seen what you're doing. So, I mean, are you starting to see that people are starting to realize that?
I do. I think that, you know, parents are researching more. You know, I think that college sports and pro sports are so prevalent nowadays, too, and they're showing kind of some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that those people are doing at the higher levels. It's becoming more accessible. Right now, you know, the people that come to Next Level, they're doing it on an individual basis. But I do encourage coaches, you know, to get involved, too, and to start to bring your team, you know, on the same scale, because we, you know, are able to customize training for a team as well. You know, you guys can be a lot more athletic going into your season, and then you can develop the camaraderie as well in the off season and challenge each other to work hard. So, yes, people are doing it. Right now it's more on an individual basis. We would like to see even more people do it, even teams to get more involved.
You know, if I was going to make any recommendation to a kid, it would always be to be, you know, more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of it is God-given, but it's some of its ability. Now, does that mean that a kid that just isn't gifted with that unbelievable athleticism, we see them all the time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I say this all the time. Kids develop at different rates. What happens is, especially in youth baseball, is a lot of times big kids dominate because they just physically can do things the younger kids can't do.
Yep.
So, and then every now and again you run across, you know, but those kids typically, the bigger kids, they kind of hit a stoppage and then people catch up with them. And then every now and again you run into some big kid that's kind of already in his body and he dominates and everybody wants to be him, right? That's not really always great. I mean, you want room to grow, right? So for that kid that isn't that dominant athlete at a young age or maybe doesn't seem to at that time have that athleticism, is he dead in the water or what can he do?
Not at all. I think you hit it dead on the nail when you said kids develop at different rates. I've seen it. I've seen a kid start at 8 that their parent didn't think that they were going to be any good. They didn't really know what sport they were playing at that time. And what we have to do as the trainers is to know what not to do with them at that time. Because part of the development process is not screw a kid up at that age, right? So let's do the things that are going to progress them to continue to develop. And then when all that coordination kicks in, even sometimes the mental maturity, when that really all comes together, and then it's going to be easier for us to see, you know, what type of athlete this kid would be. But they're developing at all different rates. We just want to make sure at the foundations we're doing the right things for the kids.
You know, because for me, as a coach, I've seen kids, I've had them, I've seen them. I always say that, you know, our goal is, you know, as a group, is to help kids be the best they can be.
Yep.
Because not every kid, they're not going to be identical.
Yep.
I mean, they're just not. Okay, but there are certain things now that have made their way into our sport. I say our sport, baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's every sport now, and that term is measurables.
Yeah.
Everything revolves around measurables. It seems like if you check out okay with measurables, then they'll come watch you play.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we talk about measurables in the game of baseball, we're talking about how fast you are. We're talking about bat speed, exit speed. We're talking about arm strength. Now, these are all things that get developed when?
These are things that get developed at different points. I mean, a lot of times, you know, a kid starts to develop those things in high school. You know, if you're talking about a male athlete, you know, testosterone kicks in. Some of those things help. But they develop at different point. Like you said, some kids are more physically mature at a younger age. You know, that means nothing at the older ages. If you continue to progress, yeah. But we see a lot of kids start to hit a wall. And the thing with measurables, it's a little bit of a sticky topic for me as a trainer too, because where do they get evaluated? They're getting evaluated at these combines and showcases, and there's a lot of factors that go into that as well. Like we have to – one thing we're doing now is we're doing combine and showcase prep so that we can make sure that there's no outlying factors that influence those measurables when it's time for you to test out. There's just a lot that goes into that. So I wouldn't hang my hat on all of the measurables because, like you said, people are developing at different rates, and the main thing is just to be as good an athlete as you can.
Yeah, I want to dive in a little more to that what I call that showcase warrior a little bit. I want to dive in a little bit. Before we do, though, I want to remind people, just keep sharing the show, whatever it is you're doing. It's been great for us on the growth end. I was committed to this show being for the people, to help not be like a not be somebody that's just going to sit here and we're just going to rail on everything that's going on. I want it to be a source of resource for people. So I really appreciate what you guys are doing out there, or, you know, the way you're sharing the show with your friends, whether it be through social media or just talking about it in general, and all the great people that have come on. And while you're doing that, of course, if you want to really help the show, one of our proud partners is Amazon. Everybody does a lot of shopping on Amazon these days. Very simple. If you just go to youthbaseballtalk.com, sorry about that, youthbaseballtalk.com, scroll down on the right a little bit, you'll see that Amazon banner. You just click on it, it'll take you right to Amazon. You can do everything you normally do on Amazon. Doesn't cost you a thing. We get a little bit of a referral, and it keeps the show on the air. So just one of my shameless plugs before I get back to EJ here. So EJ, before I took that small little break there, we were talking about that showcase warrior mentality. Mm-hmm. and how it's, I don't want to say it's a bad thing because I get it, but it's really crept its way into baseball and how we approach it. Okay, we have to. I mean, it's you know, it's funny. I hear a lot of coaches say, oh, I can't stand it, I can't stand it. And I always say, well, when you stop going, the kids will stop going to the showcases. Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody says they need rest. Everybody says they do this. But we're out doing it all winter long when they should be resting and working. Right. You know, so there's a lot that goes into it, and I get it. So if a kid comes to you and says, hey, I you know, and I know you have them. So, I mean, this should be a layup question for you. A kid comes to you and says, Coach Jones, man, I went to my showcase and I did, you know, they like me. This is a classic. They love the way I swing the bat. They love my arm strength. They love everything about me. But, man, my 60's bad.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do?
Well, we try to help them get faster.
Well, I mean, it's
yeah,
you know. So, but my point there was, it seems so simple, right? But
right.
It's really not.
It's not. No, it's not that simple. The 60 is not an easy task. I mean, we're essentially asking athletes to go out and be semi-Olympians. I mean, because a straight line sprint of that nature, it takes a lot of work. Speed is a skilled activity. You know, it's a patternized skill. It's something that you have to practice time and time again. So we have to see what the kid has been doing. We have to evaluate the running motion, the patterns, what they know about speed. We have to teach them our formulas. We have to get them on a consistent regimen. But it's just not easy.
You know, I guess I'm going to back it up with, mm-hmm. with this question. And this is I don't know that I want to know the answer to this. If I brought you 100 kids right now, mm-hmm. that haven't been to your place yet, various sports, various levels. Of the 100, how many would come in and even know how to run the right way?
Jim, I'm going to say less than 10. I mean, maybe none, yeah. You know, because there's just so much that goes into it. If you haven't been doing it, they may know part of the right way. You know, they could maybe know arm swing, or they may know dorsiflexion, but there's just going to be a lot that they don't understand.
Is that a product of the fact that we don't just play, that everything's organized? Is it a product of that? Like when you and I were young, we played all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that's where we learned.
Yeah.
You know, just natural athleticism, and that's when the you know, nature took its course. Certain kids were just better than other kids. But, you know, even then, it would be silly to think that we knew exactly how to run, but our athleticism was given a chance to grow on its own. Nowadays, since we're not out doing that every day, everything, like, you know, we talk all the time about everything's organized.
Right.
So there isn't a lot of free-form athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a product of it?
It could be, yeah. I think that could be true. The same thing goes for even, like, watching sports. You know, nowadays people are doing a lot of video gaming and stuff like that. You can't watch a person run on John Madden and think that's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you got to actually watch the Olympians. You know, like if you didn't catch the Olympics this year, I don't know if you're an athlete.
Yeah.
You know, so sure. Yeah, just things are just totally different, you know, and we're just trying to just play a part and think about all the factors and figure out how we want to continue to progress.
Yeah, I mean, it just kills me kind of like, you know, something is simple, and you don't think about it until you do something like with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I never thought much about it until Tyler came to you. And, you know, I can look at both my kids, and you've had them both. They're a great example of two completely different kinds of kids. You got mm-hmm. Tyler when he was older. He was at that age where he needed you, mm-hmm. and he was ready for you.
Right.
But he wasn't athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And you've given him an opportunity. Athletics, wise for sure.
Right.
Logan, on the other hand, was younger when I first sent him to you. Logan has all this athletic ability, but he didn't have the mindset for it. So I just think that, you know, some of that kind of in the old days would figure its way out on the playground.
Yeah, that's true.
And now we don't have that.
That's true.
You know, it's like
different day.
So I think your job also involves, and you brought it up earlier, talk a little bit about the mental approach.
The mental approach is huge. You got to get kids to learn how to work hard, you know, and consistently. You know, you got to learn how to get them, you know, on a regimen, and to kind of enjoy the process and to start to compete with themselves. So that was the thing when you went outside, you weren't just going out. But a lot of times you're competing against other kids, whether it be in your neighborhood or you're going against kids that's older than you. You're not even thinking about how old this person is. You're just going out and competing, you know, a pickup game of basketball, whatever it is. And nowadays, kids are not playing as much. They're not used to competing as much. And so we got to set goals for them, you know, and we have to encourage them when they come in. We have to set smart goals every day, things that are measurable and attainable, so that they can start to build that confidence in themselves, and ultimately go out and be, you know, more confident human beings. And that should show on the field of play for sure.
You know, you brought up just confident human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Do you pick that up a lot from the kids, that as they, you know, that whole, you know, play good, look good, feel good? I mean, do you feel like these kids that come to you, sometimes that come to you broken?
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a sense that this makes a huge difference in that for them?
I really do. That's one of the most rewarding parts of it. And nowadays, to keep sports from being so businesslike, because there's so much on the line, you got to know how to motivate kids. You got to know how to help them have fun. And, you know, especially younger they are, they can kind of subconsciously be developing confidence and healthy self-identity as they go. Even having stuff like quotes, you know, quotes are very important. You know, having a word of the day, you know, when they come in. We want to create an enriching environment, because when it gets hard, they're going to have that mental toughness to overcome those challenges.
Yeah, I mean, I think goal setting, achievement, working hard and having something actually work out for you is a great feeling, of course.
Yep.
You know, failure, though. I mean, failure is a big part of baseball.
Yep.
You know, that's a thing that I ultimately think for, you know, not everybody's going to be a quote-unquote top-end player when it comes to baseball. I mean, it's such a hard sport. That's the thing. It is. Well, they all are. They're all really hard at the highest levels, of course. I think some kids are so blessed when they're younger that the game's not real hard for them. Then it gets hard. How do they react?
It did for me. Yeah,
you know, like, I mean, it gets really hard. But we talk about failure with baseball, especially because it's a documented failure.
Right.
You know, like football, you know, it is what it is. You know, this is all it. You know, it all revolves around team. Now, coaches get in there and they break down film and they can point. You know, they'll pull you aside and say, "Sit down and watch this. Now watch yourself." You know, but typically in the course of a game, I've tried to focus on somebody in a football game. It's hard just to watch them.
Yeah, sure.
Because there's so much going on. But in baseball, man, it is.
Yeah.
You stand alone at the plate. When the ball's hit to you in the field, it's hit to you. When you're on that mound, you're throwing. Man, it is so immediate. Failure and gratification oriented. How does that relate to what you do? Like, how do you, like, that's a hard thing, man. Mm-hmm. Like, so when it comes to what you do, how can you kind of help with that?
In a sport like baseball, I think that while an athlete is working out, it's important to be talking to them during their sessions about what they're working out for and to be purpose driven. And so being able to know your client and to know the athletes that you coach and mentor on a daily basis, like if you know the reality of the situation is they have a baseball game coming up and they're going to fail 70% at the time, if not more, at the plate, like you may want to say something about that. Like you're not – but you got to work out to give yourself a chance, right?
Well, I think you just said it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're doing this to give yourself a chance.
You have to give yourself a chance.
And that's all you can ask for.
That's it.
You know, so – and to me, at the end of the day, when it comes – especially when it comes to baseball, I mean, that's where I'm at in the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Give yourself the best chance to be the best you can be.
No doubt.
That doesn't mean you're going to be Bryce Harper. Okay. Yeah. It just means you know, if it's Jim Cromer or if it's EJ Jones, I just want to be as good as I can be,
right,
and push myself to a level maybe I didn't think I was capable of getting to.
For sure.
And I know you're doing that with some amazing people. What do you guys got going on over there right now?
Well, we just had our grand opening over in Edwardsville, where we're going to be implementing more sports medicine into our routines. You know, at our Origins, we did a lot of athletic enhancement training. People have known they can come here and get fast and strong and more flexible. But now we are going to implement nutrition plans. We have a massage practitioner on staff. The building that we moved into was a former chiropractic office, so we'll have a chiropractor there. And we're just going to do it all the right way, because like you said, the nature of the beast is you got fall ball nowadays, you got people going all year round, but we still have to be able to work out. And so in essence, we have to put as much energy and effort back into the recovery part of being an athlete as we do breaking the body down. And so as long as we are doing that, I think we're doing our jobs and keeping people healthy.
Well, I know a lot of the people that I've gotten to know you well over the last few years. You did an amazing job with both my kids.
Thank you.
And you know, all the people that I know that go to you, their kids are very lucky to do so. They're very happy with what you're doing and where you're going. So I wish you continued success.
Thank you very much.
I'm real happy to have you on the show. As like I said, I think you know, on a show like ours, we tend to talk a lot about hitting. We talk a lot about fielding. Talk a lot about throwing. Catching, things like that. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you know, and it stems from people asking me all the time, you know, what's your philosophy? What are you doing? And it always comes back to, you know, talent plays. And a big part of that talent is athleticism. And, you know, I used to kind of joke around and say to people that you see some of these baseball players on TV, and I don't think you realize how good athletes they were.
Yeah, that's
you know?
For sure.
And it was John Smoltz's speech that I heard last year at the ABCA where, you know, he used to say that he used to remind Chipper Jones, you know, hey, don't forget that I used to do all the things that you do well. The only difference is I pitch now because I could do that a whole lot better than you could.
Right.
You know, and you know, I've said that to two or three people and they kind of look at me like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, what it means is that although John Smoltz is now just an every fifth day pitcher, he was one hell of an athlete and
heck
a baseball
yeah.
player.
Yep.
And if he wanted to, he probably could have played at that position at an extremely high level. But he did this so much better.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do what he does. So, you know, these guys are all great athletes. They all work. They all put in extra time. You know, some of the cliche terms we use as coaches of, if you think you're going to get better just coming to my practice twice a week, you're crazy. You know, it's like I tell my kids, you know, hey, are you working? What do you mean am I working? I had practice today after school. Okay, now what are you doing?
Right.
And the reality of that is somebody else somewhere is doing it.
Yes.
So you know, now enters in that whole thing of how bad do you want this?
Right.
And I'm not saying anybody should push or drive a kid further than he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that does no good. But if a kid wants it and we want to, quote, unquote, support him, I think you have to give him what he really needs versus sometimes what we think he needs. And that, you know, falls in line with what my show typically is always about, and that is there's a lot of great things going on out there. Just make sure you do your research, make sure you do your homework, and check it out. And, you know, in this instance, especially if you're in the area where I'm at, obviously I would always recommend EJ, you guys over at Next Level. But I would say, you know, if there's somebody else around here and that's what, you know, it's closer to your home or whatever the case may be, just make sure you do your homework, right? I mean, and obviously not everybody lives right here. So get out, get some athletic training, do your homework, check into where you're going, maybe look into some referrals, ask around, see if anybody's went there, check out the experiences. And then eventually, though, you're just going to have to do it for yourself and see what you get out of it. So, but my friend EJ brought up a great point earlier, you know, some of it's time oriented. When is the kid ready, both mentally, physically? You know, those are all things that play into it. And sometimes you just got to get in there and try it and see and open your eyes up a little bit and see how it reacts. But, you know, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is who can play, who wants to work, and who wants to get better. So I appreciate my good friend EJ being on with us today. It's good stuff as always. And I wish you nothing but continued success.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's been great as always, man.
Yeah.
I love your show. Love
yeah.
everything you do.
Well, you got
baseball.
a new pod. You just started Performance Nation. Tell
yeah.
us, how's it going so far?
It's going great. It's going great. Just being able to educate people on what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, want to give kids a chance to be more athletic and to evolve. So It's going well.
I think it's great because I think some of the terms that get thrown around a lot, I mean, I think you can educate people on what those really mean, how they you know, directly affect them. You know, there's a lot of things that get talked about all the time that have nothing to do with certain people, and they like to throw it around. It's like, well, wait a minute, that's not even what we're doing here.
Exactly.
But no, it's good stuff. But man, I'm happy for you, and I'm sure you're gonna do well for yourself for sure. I mean, a lot of it stems from your own passion and your own experiences.
Yeah.
You know, as a football player that, you know, lived at the combine. You know, and you went through it yourself. I mean, you've been at that level, and you've seen it firsthand, and you know what it takes. So, you know, I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you for taking your own efforts and passing them on to the kids, because at the end of the day, that's what we're here for, right?
That's what life is all about. All right. Thank you very much, Jim.
All right. That's EJ Jones with Next Level Performance. Just a fantastic young gentleman. He's younger than me. But, you know, he does a great job with kids, cares a lot about what he's doing. And at the end of the day, he's trying to impart some of his own knowledge and experiences onto these kids and trying to just help them be the best that they can be. And at the end, I think that's all we want for any of our kids. And again, as I mentioned at the beginning, I know that this is a baseball show, of course, but it's also a youth baseball show. And at the younger ages, we have kids playing multiple sports. I assure you, there's not one sport your kid is playing where his athleticism will not come into play as to A, how good he becomes, B, what level he reaches. The athleticism will dramatically affect that. The first time I met EJ and Joe, Joe Alaria was his guy he was working with at the time. When I met him, they knew. I didn't know them, but I could tell they knew who I was. And I'll never forget when I was inquiring about Tyler going there, I said the same thing that probably all baseball parents would say to somebody like them. Now, keep in mind, after watching them work kids out with their running and watching the way they were teaching them to run properly, watching the way they stretched them, the first step movements, things that I didn't realize played such an important role. So I say to them, typically, well, I don't know if he's going to do this or do that or do this or do that. And they looked at me and said, well, that's fine, but how much time do you spend at hitting lessons? How much time do you spend at pitching lessons? And I thought about that, and then they looked at me and said, how much time have you spent helping him be a better athlete? And it just hit home with me. And I thought, you know what? At the end of the day, if I'm being realistic, my son is not the athlete that some of these other kids are. I better help him where he's truly deficient. And I got to tell you, sending him there, and he was ready, he was maturely ready to do it and commit to it, it made a huge difference in his life. And if I pulled him in here right now, he would say that before that, he didn't have the ability nor the confidence to compete, especially at our school where it's a very competitive environment. Going there, getting faster, stronger, quicker, and being able to move better gave him the confidence to compete at a higher level. So make sure you keep that in mind when you're out there thinking about what you're doing in the off season. And don't forget, it's not just for the off season anymore. There are plenty of programs, and I guarantee you the next time I have EJ on, we're going to talk about this, the in-season workouts. The easiest thing in the world to do as a parent is to say, we're done. It's baseball season. Let me tell you, big mistake. Can't wait to have EJ back on. We're going to talk about that. I've got that pegged for one of my Monday morning shows because it's one of my pet peeves, and that's the things I like to talk about on there. And I think when I bring that up, the in-season workouts, because I'm so tired of hearing it from people that, well, we don't want to work out during the season, that I've got to bring it up. So I think I'm going to invite EJ back on. I'm already giving him the thumbs up here through the thing, and he doesn't realize that I'm bringing him back. So, yeah, there he's back here. So, hey, I'm going to bring you back on for that. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, I'll be ready.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of my pet peeves. I'm going to bring you back on. But hey, thanks again. And
thank you.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, of course, we're going to hear from Domingo Ayala and his theory of baseball. Of course, we're going to hear from Justin Stone with EliteBaseball.tv and my good friend Rick Strickland with the St. Louis Pirates. See you on the other side of the break.
Attention coaches, parents, and student athletes. Here at Youth Baseball Talk, one of the most common emails we receive from mom and dad are about the college recruitment and selection process. Far too often, these emails do not have happy endings. Let me tell you about our friend Mark Lineweaver in Perfect Placement. Perfect Placement identifies and helps you with important decision-making factors which are way too often overlooked in the college recruitment process. Such as, is it the right student body size for you? Is it a comfortable proximity from your home? Do they offer your desired field of study? How about extracurricular activities that interest you? And of course, the proper level of competition for your skill set. Once they've identified these factors, they will contact those colleges and speak directly to the coaching staff in an effort to help you. To learn more about Perfect Placement, simply check out their website, perfectplacement.com. That's placement with a Y. To contact them, you can email them at info@perfectplacement.com. Remember, that's placement with a Y. Call 310-921-8669 for more information. That's 310-921-8669. Perfect Placement, specializing in assisting your student athlete.
Welcome back. Really appreciate you sticking with us through the break there. Special thanks to Mark Lineweaver and his wonderful recruitment service that he provides for young athletes all over the country. Really enjoy talking to Mark all the time and his just interesting take on the college experience and what it really entails for young athletes. So make sure you give him an opportunity. Always love to hear from Domingo as well, as he loves to share his insights and wonderful thoughts on the game of baseball. Brought to you each and every week by our good friends over at The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com. The best training aid that I've ever seen. If you really want your young player to not only learn how to throw strikes, but to be able to do it in games and be able to have that confidence. We talked so much about confidence earlier with EJ and the role that it plays in sports, especially when it comes to athleticism. If you want to give that kid confidence on the mound, make sure you check out The Pitch Hitter at thepitchhitter.com. It's a great training tool so that your son or daughter, when they get in the game, feels good about their chances of throwing strikes at the plate. It's such a misunderstood thing. Confidence plays such a role in it, and the Pitch Hitter is definitely what you'll need. And when it comes to hearing what you need, it's those post-game speeches from coaches sometimes that can either make us or break us. Let's hear Domingo's take on it. Domingo, take it away.
Hi, Jim. How you doing? It's good to be back on the show. I want to give a special shout out to The Pitch Hitter for making this possible. Go check it out if you haven't already. Now today I want to talk about post-game speech. Post-game speech are the little talk the coach have with the team after the game. The only thing about them is they no little talk no more. They big talk. What I mean by that is you go to a game now, you've been at the field for 5 or 6 hours, and now Mr. Coach wants to keep you an extra 30 minutes to tell you things you already know. We're at the game, Mr. Coach. We don't need you to repeat what just happened. About 99% of post-game speech are pointless. We already know we did a bad job. We can tell by the score. So why you lecture us about it for 15 minutes? We know that if we make less air, we would have given up less run. Why you have to tell us now? We know Johnny missed a sign. We heard you wear him out during the game. We don't need to hear it again. We hungry, Mr. Coach. We want to go get some food. We've been at the field all day long. Our parents are waiting for us. And why are you always mad in a post-game speech? One time I'm listening to Mr. Coach yell at us for 25 minutes. And we won the game. What's that about? All I'm saying, Jim, is we've been at the field for too long. Let us go home and unwind. Anything that needs to be said can be said the next day. I promise you it's not going to make a difference. That's my thought on the post-game speech. I hope it makes sense for you. Thanks for having me on the show and again, if you're trying to look for a training tool to take you to the big time, check out The Pitch Hitter.
Great stuff as always from Domingo, and special thanks to The Pitch Hitter. Make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com. If you want your post-game speech to be a positive one and not filled with diatribe from your coach about inability to throw strikes, make sure you check out thepitchhitter.com, the greatest tool you'll ever have for your young slugger. Let's take it on over to my good friend Justin Stone with his Coach's Corner Tip of the Week, brought to you by Elitebaseball.tv. Justin, take it away.
Thanks, Jim, and this is Justin Stone coming to you with the Elitebaseball.tv Tip of the Week. In watching the Little League World Series recently, one of the things that stood out to me as players were playing on a smaller field is how much worry there were between infielders and outfielders on those tweener fly balls where players would become very, very passive, worried about a collision. So we're going to talk today about how infielders and outfielders should communicate and drills you can do to make them feel more comfortable on that tweener fly ball. First, infielders are taught to go after everything hard. I think what often happens is infielders begin to backpedal on balls and assume that the outfielders are always going to take that ball that goes into the outfield. There is no line that separates from the dirt to the outfield that says an infielder can't cross the dirt, go into the outfield, and make a play. But the feeling often is that's the outfielder's territory. So we got to get rid of that mindset. Our first two steps, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, as an infielder, I'm always taking my first two or three steps to a ball hard, even if the ball is well away from my position. It's a good practice habit. So I'm always sprinting to a spot where the ball is in the air, and I'm always getting those first two steps to be explosive. Now, once we go hard to the fly ball, we're continuing until we hear an outfielder call us off. Outfielders are coming in on this ball. They have priority over the infielder in this case. So we go hard until we hear outfielders call us off. So it's the responsibility of the outfielder to call the baseball. What you call it on your team is completely up to you. We use a ball call, but it's not what you have to do. Some guys will go mine. Some guys will say, I got it, and then go along with a take it call. All those things are fine as long as your players understand what they're doing and they're all consistent with it. The important thing is that the outfielder does make a call if he feels like he can make the catch. At that time, the infielder has to peel off. But how do we get our infielders comfortable with going hard into the outfield, catching fly balls without the worry of a collision? Well, we simply do it without outfielders in play. I think what infielders do really poorly is taking those first few steps correctly and hard as a drop step and sprint to a fly ball in the outfield. I mentioned earlier that oftentimes they'll backpedal, they don't put themselves in an athletic position to make plays further into the outfield. So you can do this first with a coach thrown ball. We'll throw the ball over the shoulder of the player, we're going to point in the direction of the drop step, and force him to sprint in a direction. As the coach, I won't throw the ball over the shoulder of the athlete till I'm satisfied with the sprint. What often happens is the first two steps will be slow and lethargic, and then they'll try to recover with speed to the ball. Those are the ones that we're seeing the ball drop two steps in front of their glove. What we want to do as infielders is go hard early so I can coast late. If I can sprint out of my break in my first two or three steps, we can always slow down and put our body under the ball in a good athletic position. So that drill, by throwing the ball over the shoulder, I don't throw it until I'm satisfied with their first few steps continuing into a sprint. Next is the territory that the infielder has to cover. From the middle infield position, what I always project in my mind is that I have from my position to the foul pole and making a triangle to the foul fence is all my ball. That means anything going in foul ground, we have the best angle for it, and if I can beat the outfielder there and he's not calling me off, that's our play. You'll see that a lot in big league games on SportsCenter, a second baseman or a shortstop making a play almost on the warning track or against the wall in foul territory with a left fielder or right fielder converging. Those players are sprinting to that spot, never assuming an outfielder is going to take it. By getting in that habit of always sprinting out of our break, we're able to make plays 100 feet from our position. I know we've talked about this on the podcast before, but making a good practice habit of sprinting from my spot to the outfield on shallow hit fly balls end up making a difference in my athletic career. Growing up in a small town, there might only be three or four games in a summer where I get college coaches or pro scouts to come see me in the days of pre-showcase baseball. They just didn't do that very often in coming into a small city. But the one time that I happened to have some guys in the stands, there was a play where I took three or four hard steps on a ball hit to the outfield fairly deep in a right center field. But I noticed as I turned and ran that neither my center fielder nor my right fielder, maybe not paying attention, but neither one of them saw the ball. So I just continued on that line in that sprint and caught a ball running to the right center field fence over my shoulder with my back to the infield. Just because of a good practice habit and a play I never made again in my entire career, I made it with a good practice habit. People in the stands that day furthered my athletic career, and I got a scholarship to Division I baseball not too long after. You just never know. But that never would have happened if I wasn't used to taking those first few hard steps into the outfield. So that takes us into our last couple drills. What do we do now in this progression? Well, we need to do it with the fungo. So we went from throwing the ball, now we're going to put it more in a live setting where the coach at home plate, and we're hitting fungos, no outfielders present, and we're telling the infielder, your responsibility, you go get it. That gets them used to it in a very fun setting. Let's see how far we can go out there on what are really routine balls to outfielders and see if we can catch them on the run. Infielders get a kick out of this. They realize how far they can go out there into the outfield in a dead sprint, making an athletic play and having fun while they do so. Finally, we need to put the outfielders back in play. And I still do this in a controlled setting with the coach throwing balls between, working on dual communication before I add the fungo. So if the coach is throwing the ball over the shoulder of the infielder, we have outfielders 30, 40, 50 feet behind him, depending on your age group and your size of field, I'm trying to drop that ball in between them. If outfielders can make the play, they're calling the infielder off. We're even working on the infielder peeling off to give him room. Finally, after we get the comfort level of the communication, we add the fungo back into play in a live practice or game situation. So it's these progressions that will allow you to get comfortable on the field of one, your infielder's going hard into the outfield for fly balls, and two, comfort factor by having communication between your infielders and outfielders. That'll take away those collisions that are so brutal in the game of baseball, keep your players injury-free, happy, healthy, and continuing to play the game all summer. Until next week, this is Justin Stone from the Elitebaseball.tv Coach's Tip of the Week.
Always great to hear from Justin Stone, so well thought of both as an instructor and coach and trainer in the whole country, much less in his area. Does a great job with his Elite Baseball program out of Chicago. Really appreciate the fact that he's on our show each and every week. Very lucky to have him, as well as my next guest, each and every week, brought to you by St. Louis Pirates Nation and his Blast Motion Tip of the Week. Let's hear from Rick Strickland with the St. Louis Pirates. Rick, take it away.
Hey, Jim. Thanks again for having me back on the show this week. This week, I want to talk a little bit about our Diamond Identity Showcase Combine event. We've had a couple of those this past summer. You know, really what Diamond Identity is really to try to create a showcase combine format that's both recruitment-based oriented, informational, but most of all, a combine showcase is going to give meaningful information back to the customers, to the kid, to the families that use these combines and showcases to get themselves in front of college coaches. I've looked at it over 15 years that I've been following the development of this, and when my kids get to the point, I wanted to see on a scouting report what metrics were really important for identifying who a potential top player is. A lot of times when you're looking at this stuff like that, kids go out to these combines and really have one day or a couple hours to kind of impress schools and things like that. But we wanted to take a long-term approach with the combine showcase, and that is giving meaningful data that actually, when you look at this data, it tells a story, gives you a blueprint, a DNA about what type of athlete we're dealing with. And when you look at that, you can look at that data, and it tells a story about what level of player what level of athlete we're actually looking at. Whether you're looking at a Division I, a potential major leaguer, Division II, Division III athlete. And it's not like the kids will be classified or stuck or categorized at that point. The younger the kid is in this format, the data that we give back actually really kind of identifies where it is they need to work to make themselves better, to make themselves more appealing to the level of schools that they want to play at this point in time. So that's what Diamond Identity is. Now, the interesting thing is that we used to do the winter camp, but the NCAA came down and basically said that coaches couldn't come in and work off campus during the winter months. So this year, we're actually going to run the event over holiday, not the holiday, but the Halloween weekend, with the last Saturday of October this year. We didn't know what to do with it, but the college coaches had asked us what we were going to do with this event, because it's a pretty good event for them to kind of go in early on and kind of identify, you know, potential young players from my area that might be on their radar. Build their list up, maybe invite some kids from all over the region to their camp, things of that nature. This camp is open to the community. It's open to the country for that matter. And a lot of times we have kids that play in different programs that that don't use this event. It is open to all, and I would encourage all kids who have aspirations to get in there. Now, that being said, we do cap the number of kids that can participate around 80. The reason why we do that is we want to make sure the kids that we have coming to the event are what we consider to be college-bound athletes to go from there. So that's going to happen again on October 30th. You'll be able to find that through diamondidentity.net or through sandlotelite.com on that matter. So I wanted to share that with you this week, Jim, just to kind of give you some insights on that. I'd like to come back on again and talk a little bit more about showcases and when you should do them and how many of them you should do as we move forward. But October 30th coming up, 2016, Diamond Identity, which is a really important event, we think, for getting especially young athletes in front of college coaches. Thanks again, Jim, as always. Look forward to speaking to you soon.
Great stuff, as always, from Rick and the whole gang there that shares with us all each and every week in an effort to try to educate us and learn a little bit about this wonderful game of youth baseball. Really enjoyed my guest today. EJ Jones has made such a difference in so many kids' lives. It's got to be gratifying. I know as a coach, one of the things I appreciated the most was definitely the hard work of the kids. But, man, when you're there when they have some success, especially if they've struggled, it's such a great feeling. It's not something you need to feel, but when you can tell that they feel that way, it's just a great feeling inside, and it's really what it should be all about. EJ gets to experience that all the time. Now, sometimes I'm sure he's got to be the heavy, but you know, he's in a results-oriented business. I mean, he has said so himself many times. The bottom line is, you know, if you run this and this and you're not getting faster, then we're doing something wrong or you just can't do it. And he doesn't believe anybody can't do it. So, you know, he's going to push you and he's going to ask you to commit to the process. And if you trust it, you're going to get better. I mean, that's it. Getting better is the end-all dream of everybody when it comes to this sort of thing. So getting better, though, is all about getting better like yourself. How much better can you be? It's okay to compare yourself to other people. It's okay to want to be this and want to be that. But at the end of the day, we're all different. We all progress differently. All you can do and all you can control is how hard you work and what you're willing to do for your end result. A guy like EJ, if you're willing to give it everything you have, we'll get the best out of you. And again, if you're in the area, make sure you check him out. EJ Jones over at Next Level Performance Institute. It's just a great place for athletes in general to go work. If you're not in this area, of course, though, I guarantee you there's somebody in your area, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody just a half an hour away that can make a difference in your kid's life. Do your homework, check it out, let them help. That's why they're there. At the end of the day, all they care about is the, you know, your child and the end result, which is how good of an athlete can they be? Let them let their athleticism out, and I guarantee you, you will see a much more positive result. Now, I didn't say they're going to go get a bunch of hits. I didn't say they're going to throw 90. I didn't say that. But I guarantee you, if they become better athletes, they have a much better chance of having better results. Great stuff as always today from our guests. Really appreciate him being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. Look forward to our Monday morning solutions edition that'll be coming out this week. I hope you stick with us and give that a listen as well. Really appreciate some of the emails that have been coming in. You guys have been great about things that are happening in your life when it comes to baseball, and it gives me the thoughts of different shows that I want to talk about. It is interesting how you guys will send me emails at info@youthbaseballtalk.com, and then it'll spark something with me like, man, that did happen to me, or you know what? I've never thought about that. That's a great point. It's amazing when I get those, how they always kind of morph into shows. So keep those coming. They mean a lot to me. Of course, check us out at youthbaseballtalk.com. Follow us on Twitter @podcastbaseball. And of course, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk is the greatest way to do it. And if you want to stay up to date with the shows, just subscribe. It is free. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, or any major podcast outlet. Click that subscribe button. You're going to get a notification each time we do a show. For Youth Baseball Talk, I'm your host, Jim Cromer, and for my producer, Brian, we'll see you guys next week.
Tune in next week for another edition of Youth Baseball Talk. Subscribe and leave a rating and review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the show. Find us online at youthbaseballtalk.com, facebook.com/youthbaseballtalk, or on Twitter @podcastbaseball. Plus, check out all of our podcasts at lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.